and I will tell you, you can't do that and be the same when you leave.
What's wrong with expecting, like, our young people to be working part-time now? I mean, like, that's how it used to be when I was growing up.
We have found that there was unexplained abuse, and that is every parent's nightmare.
From the fourth floor of the Capitol Rotunda, you're listening to WFSU Public Media's Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Len Hatter.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com.
This is Capitol Report, the podcast, and I'm Len Hatter in for Tom Flanagan. Among today's Capitol action, the Florida House of Representatives has again passed a bill that would lower the age for purchasing long guns. In 2018, a shooter at Parkland's Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School killed 17 students and faculty members. That prompted the Florida legislature to raise the purchase age to buy rifles and shotguns to 21. But as Margie Menzel reports, the state Senate has not heard the bill this year.
The shadow of Parkland still hangs over Florida. On Tuesday, Moms Demand Action members fanned out across the Capitol to ask lawmakers not to pass the age change. The group's executive director, Angela Farrell Zabala, says she remembers how, after Parkland, then-Governor Rick Scott and a bipartisan group of legislators worked to prevent what she calls, quote, another senseless tragedy.
To actually roll that back right now is just a slap in the face to survivors and advocates that work so hard for this change to ensure public safety.
The House easily passed the bill dropping the age of purchase to 18. The vote was 78-34, with Republicans largely in support. Many of the arguments for lowering the age of purchase center around the Second Amendment, which enshrines the right to own weapons in the U.S. Constitution. However, Farrell Zabala disagrees with that stance.
One thing that I often hear that is very frustrating is pitting this against the Second Amendment. That is absolutely ridiculous. We have many gun owners amongst us that advocate right alongside us, and even gun owners that are survivors of gun violence themselves. Responsible gun ownership is something that we should be really making sure we have in the state and across the country, not anything that's going to be reckless or endanger public safety.
We were very close, and he would be here with me by my side and enjoying the birth of my very first grandchild, which he loved my daughter more than anything and played with her as a baby. And it's just so sad to me when I come to these events.
Alita Jarrett's father and brother were shot to death in Coral Gables in 2003. Her father, Paul, was known in Miami for starting the Department of Psychiatry at Mercy Hospital. Her brother, Greg, was a nurse. Jarrett says she's had difficulty coming to terms with her loss.
I did. I suppressed it for a long time, but joining other groups with survivors, and we all have a different story, but we all have a common thread of why we're there. And it's like they say, helping others helps yourself.
The age change may have passed the House, but it hasn't budged in the Senate, where Senate President Ben Albritton is still grappling with his response. Earlier this month, Albritton told reporters he and his wife, Missy, had gone to Parkland and had stood where the slaughter took place.
Missy and I had the opportunity to go down to Parkland. Walk the halls, right? And what I will tell you, you can't do that and be the same when you leave.
Albritton said one of the students who died, 15-year-old Luke Hoyer, made him think of his own children. He apologized for being emotional about the issue.
It's not easy. I'm an NRA lifetime member. Nearly every day, I carry at least one weapon. I have a concealed carry permit. The legislature passed concealed carry, permitless concealed carry, constitutional carry. That shows that this legislature takes the Second Amendment seriously.
This month, the NRA lost a challenge to Florida's age law. A circuit court upheld the constitutionality of raising the minimum age to purchase long guns from 18 to 21. The ruling is likely to go to the U.S. Supreme Court. State Attorney General James Uthmeyer has said he won't continue to defend it. I'm Margie Menzel.
Proposals going through the Florida legislature removing several child labor protections were just amended to allow some 13-year-olds to work. WFSU's Tristan Wood has more.
The legislature last year passed policy allowing 16 and 17-year-olds to work 30-hour weeks. This year, new proposals in the Florida House and Senate would allow them to work full-time and ease rules for 14 and 15-year-olds who are enrolled in homeschool, virtual education, or those who have already graduated. The House version would allow 13-year-olds to work during the summer of the year they turn 14. Palm Bay Republican Representative Monique Miller says her bill will give more control to families about deciding when their children work.
I think every family needs to make that decision for what's best for them instead of having the government tell them what's best for them.
Democrats and labor advocacy groups are blasting the bill, saying it will harm education outcomes and allow employers to pressure lower-income kids to work longer hours at a younger age with less protections. Orlando Democratic Representative Anna Eskimani says allowing children to work longer hours for less money could negatively impact wages for adult workers. That could force even more children to work to keep their families afloat.
When you saturate the workforce with cheap labor, and this will be what happens, it impacts every worker's bargaining power, every worker's ability to advocate for better benefits and for better wages. So it's not just even impacting children, it really is a ripple effect in the entire system of our economy.
These bills being considered come days after Governor Ron DeSantis supported the idea of replacing immigrant labor with teen labor.
What's wrong with expecting, like, our young people to be working part-time now? I mean, like, that's how it used to be when I was growing up. Why do we say we need to import foreigners, even import them illegally, when, you know, teenagers used to work at these resorts? College students should be, all this stuff.
It's unclear if either of the two bills will pass. Senate President Ben Albritton says he's unsure whether he supports it, and House Speaker Daniel Perez says he has personal concerns about the policies. Their hesitancy to support it could force several changes to come to the proposals over the next few weeks. I'm Tristan Wood.
Finally tonight, in an effort to protect kids with disabilities, a panel of lawmakers are advancing a bill letting parents of special needs children to monitor school classrooms. Adrian Andrews has that story.
Dina Justice stood in front of lawmakers in support of a bill that would have allowed her to witness the abuse her daughter Emily took when she was just 8 years old. Emily is autistic and nonverbal. Dina said it wasn't until a school staff member came forward that she discovered her daughter was being verbally and physically abused at school by a teacher.
The teacher would place her in a chair in the middle of the room and have one of the aides pin her arms behind her back. The teacher would get directly in her face and tell her she was bad. 15 years and some traumas never fade away. This bill is way overdue.
Emily is now 24. The panel of House lawmakers approved Miami-Dade Democratic Representative Kevin Chambliss's measure. The bill requires all public and charter schools in Florida, except those in fiscally constrained counties, to install video cameras and audio recording devices inside their special ed classes.
There have been instances where we have found that there was unexplained abuse, and that is every parent's nightmare. This bill seeks to address that.
Cameras will not be placed in restrooms and changing areas. School districts will need to have them installed in classes that have at least one nonverbal student with a disability. and the recordings must be kept for at least 3 months and be readily available to the parents, law enforcement, and the Department of Children and Families. Brevard Republican Representative Chase Tremont says the bill is necessary to ensure parents of special needs students have the proof they need in case their child is abused or neglected.
It's not that people don't care. It's that the majority of people just don't know, because it's not everyday life for them. And as and I want to tell you, this bill is going to get passed one way or another at some point in my tenure here. So I congratulate you all for being on the right side of history, because we're going to see this through.
The bipartisan measure needs to pass one more committee before it can be taken up on the House floor. Its Senate companion has yet to have a hearing. I'm Adrian Andrews.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Adrian Andrews, Gina Jordan, Regan McCarthy, Margie Menzel, and Tristan Wood. Shows are available Monday through Thursday by 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, wherever you get your podcasts. On many of these Florida public radio stations, you can tune in each Friday to catch the latest on all things happening at the Capitol. That show is also available in podcast form. Technical assistance comes from Taylor Cox, and I'm Lynn Hatter in for Tom Flanagan. This is Capitol Report, the podcast from WFSU Public Media.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following: Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com. Capitol Report is a production of WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee.